When I was in high school, we had this thing called a study hall, which was a period about once a week of 45 minutes where we'd go into a classroom and the only thing we had to do was study. One time we had a study hall period where we had no supervision, and a lot of us were trying to study, but there was one kid sitting across the room who used this period to make the best paper airplanes in the world. This guy's paper airplanes were incredible. They were like origami. He could make ailerons and spoilers and flaps and landing gear and rudders into these paper airplanes. And he would go up to the window and he would throw them out the window, and these things flew fantastically. If there were a paper version of the Air Force, this guy would have been a mechanic. He was great. Well, as he was enjoying his flights out the window, a knock came on the door and the door opened, and it was the math teacher in the next classroom over. He was angry, something fierce. And he said, "Who's throwing those airplanes out the window?" And he said, "They're flying by his classroom and distracting his teaching of an important math problem." He was very upset at us, and rightly so. And he said, "Who's doing it?" Well, the paper airplane guy, the mechanic, he pointed at me and he said, "Jason's doing it. See, Jason's over by the window. He's doing it. He's the one." So the teacher starts hollering at me. Well, I gave this paper mechanic, airplane mechanic, a look, and it was a look that could kill. And I just stared him down, and he repented of his lie. Right on the spot, he repented. I couldn't believe it. And he said, no, I'm the one doing the airplanes, and he got in trouble for it. Well, ever since that experience, in my heart, I felt like I had this aversion, this hatred for lying. That guy lied about me, and it wasn't a huge situation, but he lied. For a moment, he lied, and I felt the pain of that. And I started to feel in my heart as the years went on that lying is something that I ain't going to tolerate. I will not tolerate it. If I have a friend and they have all kinds of faults and failings, as every one of us does, I'll put up with it. But if they lie, I'm backing away. I'll keep a social distance from them of like 60 feet. I won't talk to them. Maybe I'll give them a chance to repent of their lie. But if they lie about stuff, whether it's about me or about other situations, I was like, I don't want any part of this. Well, lying really is a bad thing. It's a sin against God, who told us, "You shall not bear false witness." In the book of Genesis, the thing that the evil spirit does that I kind of noticed very clearly is he introduces the sin of lying into this great project of creation, of humanity. Adam and Eve were told one thing by God, and everything was wonderful and happy for them and peaceful. But then the evil spirit shows up and lies and says, "God didn't really say what he said. He meant something else. Don't listen to God." And that was a lying spirit. And Adam and Eve bought into the lie. The devil promised all kinds of wonderful things if they disobeyed God, and that was a lie too. And this lie ruined Adam and Eve's happiness. They lost it. They lost their happiness. They lost their peace. They lost their relationship and their love. The Catechism of the Catholic Church has a section on lying, beginning with paragraph 2482, and I want to go through some of these paragraphs. 2482 says this: "A lie consists in speaking a falsehood with the intention of deceiving. The Lord denounces lying as the work of the devil." Jesus said, this is what Jesus says to the phony religious leaders: "You are of your father, the devil. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Well, remember, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Well, lying is at the very heart of those evil works. Then the Catechism goes on to say, "Lying is the most direct offense against the truth. To lie is to speak or act against the truth in order to lead into error someone who has the right to know the truth. By injuring man's relation to truth and to his neighbor, a lie offends against the fundamental relation of man and of his word to the Lord." There's a saying, you are only as good as your word. When you lie, you turn your life against God. You have broken your relationship to God, and it's really no good. It's like your character is moving into the darkness. Your personality, your spiritual personal character, is in the darkness. There's a, in my opinion, a really good movie from many years ago that was produced by Disney. It's called Pinocchio. And I love the movie because it shows kind of the full effect of immorality, specifically the sin, the immorality of lying. And Pinocchio, he gets caught up in the sin of lying, and by the end of it, it deformed his character so badly that he turned into an animal. Well, that's what lying does. Lying ruins our relationship to God, who is truth itself, and to others. The Catechism goes on in paragraph 2485. By its very nature, lying is to be condemned. It is a profanation of speech, whereas the purpose of speech is to communicate known truth to others. In other words, when you lie by word, by spoken word, or by written word, you're going against the purpose of your ability to speak or to communicate. You're totally going against it. The purpose of speech, communication, is to share the truth. The Catechism goes on. The deliberate intention of leading a neighbor into error by saying things contrary to the truth constitutes a failure in justice and charity. In other words, if you lie, if lying is your way of life, you're an unjust person. You have no connection to justice, and you are uncharitable. You have no love in your heart. The culpability is greater when the intention of deceiving entails the risk of deadly consequences for those who are led astray. So in other words, a lie's gravity can change depending on what your intention is and what you lie about. So for example, that kid lying about who's throwing the paper airplanes, that was bad. But someone lying about a situation that's going to lead to death, that's a whole lot worse. There's tons of stories in history of wars that were started based on lies. That's terrible. That's so bad, it's unbelievable. The Catechism goes on in 2486, since it violates the virtue of truthfulness, a lie does real violence to another. So when you lie to someone, that's a violent act. That's like hitting someone with a 2x4. It's really bad, but it hits them in the heart. Lying affects one's ability to know, which is the condition of every judgment and decision. So someone is supposed to make a judgment about some situation, and you've lied to them, well, you've totally tied up their ability to make a good judgment. It's like they're in these shackles, and they can't make a good judgment because you lied to them. Lying goes on. Lying, according to the Catechism, contains the seed of discord and all consequent evils. Lying is destructive of society. It undermines trust among men and tears apart the fabric of social relationships. So lying ruins everything. Lying can take a good situation and make it bad, and take a bad situation and make it worse. It ruins relationships. Lying is a direct attack on relationships. I experienced that in the reality of friendship. I would have loved to have been friends with a mechanic of paper airplanes, but because he lied, I said, I'm going to stay away from the guy. Well, lying can ruin relationships. You can have a good relationship, a marriage, and then someone, or maybe both of them, start to lie about stuff. They start lying about little stuff, and then they start lying about big stuff. You can rip them to pieces. I know a family, really good family, that was torn in half because of a lie. And it destroyed the family for many years. But they found out that what destroyed them was a lie, and they tried their best to make up for it. But lying can ruin so many good situations. Lying ruins everything. It really does. And I'm convinced that lying is the foundation of every sin. For example, look at the sin, the social sin of racism, which our country, the United States of America, has been rightly fighting against. Now, racism should never have been here in the beginning. It should have been totally done away with in the 1960s, but we've seen it's still very much active, and people are rising up and condemning the evil of racism. But racism has an origin. And what is that origin? It's the sin of lying. It goes like this. You convince people that this group of people from this country or from this ethnicity or with this skin color or with this nationality or this religion, you spread a lie about them, and the lie is they're not human. They don't have human dignity. And you convince people of this lie, you drum it into them, and eventually people believe it, and then you have racism. You have slavery. You have death. Lying is at the root of this social sin of racism. It's the heart of it, and we have to work against that too. Well, lying also is, in my opinion, a real slavery. You know, Jesus says, he who sins is a slave of sin. Well, in my book, lying is the quintessential example of the slavery of sin. I'll give you an example. If I lie about something, immediately that lie has power over me. I have to live according to the lie. So if I lie to this person, I tell the truth to this person, and I tell a half lie and a half truth to this person, I am totally caught up in a web of deception. To this person, I have to live according to the lie. So that lie is dictating how I live my life. It's enslaved me. I'm a servant to that lie. To the person I told the truth, okay, I got to live according to the truth. But I also have to make sure they don't find out about the lie I told that person. So now I'm doubly enslaved. And then to the person I told the half truth and the half lie, I got to live two different lives with them. I got to make sure they don't realize that I'm deceiving everybody. You see, in that example, lying enslaves people. And lying is something that can become a lifestyle. You lie about something, you get away with it. It's like you feel powerful. You feel like, ah, look what I did. I'm above these people. I deceived them. And no one's going to question me. And then you realize you can get away with lying. And then you tell another lie. And then another lie. And then another one. And then you start lying about really big stuff. And then you get to the point where you're just a liar. And that's all you do. Your whole spiritual character is one of a liar. And you're so lost, it's like you don't know where to begin to bring you back to the light of truth. Well, one way to get back to the light of truth, if you've gone down the path of lying, is you got to make reparation for your lies. The Catechism says this in paragraph 2487. Every offense committed against justice and truth entails the duty of reparation, which means you have to make up for your lie. If you lied about something, you got to repair the damage. The Catechism says, this duty of reparation also concerns offenses against another's reputation. That means if your lie has damaged someone's reputation, you have to fix it. You have to go and say, hey, look, I lied about this person and I was wrong. I was totally wrong. And you want to know something? What I said was this, but this is actually the truth here. And you know, it's not easy to own up to lying because you feel guilty. You feel shame if you got a conscience, but you got to do it. You have to make up for your lies. That's the only way to get out of that tangled web of lies that you got yourself into. Lying is something that is no good. The best thing to do is to stand on the truth, is to live by the truth. That's where you're going to find true peace. That's where you're going to be able to have real friendships. Jesus says in his teaching, the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free.